A critical training camp week begins at the NovaCare Complex, and the shifting skies of the Eagles roster come into focus. The team will make its first cuts after Saturday's preseason game. This is the time for everyone to step up and impress the coaching staff in all phases of the game. Welcome to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. Welcome you to the NovaCare Complex and Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. I'm Dave Spadaro. Hope you're all having a great Sunday. Eagles having their practice today at the NovaCare Complex. Full pads, good workout. And we've got a lot to get to on this day. We'll hear from offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, defensive lineman Cedric Thornton comes into the studio. And of course, we will talk about the quarterbacks. No idea who the starting quarterback will be on Saturday night in Jacksonville. Certainly Chip Kelly taking his time evaluating everything, and it is the big story and the big conversation piece of this Eagles training camp. Hope you're all doing well. Sit back, enjoy. We want some phone calls. Where do you think the Eagles are at the midway point of this 2013 preseason? A 1-1 record, a lot of really encouraging signs, but we don't quite know yet, because we are in the preseason as this football team marches forward. We get you caught up on the day's events. Chris McPherson, take it away on today's headlines.
Thanks, Dave, and we'll kick off today's headlines with Jason Peters back on the practice field for a second straight day. Great news. He said on Saturday that he's 100% and is going to make his preseason debut against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Saturday. He has not been on the field since the end of the 2011 season. No new injuries to report, but one transition taking place on the field. Isaac Remington, a former Oregon Duck, a rookie free agent signing, played under Chip Kelly at Oregon. He's moving from defensive line to offensive line. He took some reps there earlier during training camp. Well, it looks like the move is more permanent one at this point. So again, no new injuries report on the field. Chip Kelly saying that he's not any closer to naming a starting quarterback. He's going to take his time. If you look back to his history at Oregon, he has taken right up until the week before the first game to finally decide who will be the starting signal caller. And he could do that here, but he did not guarantee it. In terms of what's coming up on the show later on, defensive lineman Cedric Thornton, third-year player out of Southern Arkansas, will be in the studio with Dave Spadaro in just a little bit. Monday is going to be a day off for the players, but the coaches will meet to discuss the game plan for the third preseason game, and they will determine then who will be the starting quarterback. And next Saturday at 7:30 p.m., you can watch the Eagles battle the Jaguars on 6ABC. We will have the post-game show live for you right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And that's going to do it for today's headlines.
All right, thank you very much, Chris. Nobody mentioning Jason Babin, the big reunion, the Eagles and Jacksonville's Jason. Nobody really cares, do you? Anyway, Eagles getting set for the Jaguars today, kind of their last day of the traditional two-a-day practice with the walkthrough and the practice. So the Eagles turning the corner, if you will, heading for home in this 2013 preseason slash training camp here at the NovaCare Complex. Nearly 100,000 fans have come through Lincoln Financial Field for the four open practices, one to go a week from Monday. Got a great show for you. Sit back and enjoy. Pat Shurmur, offensive coordinator, talking about that side of the football when we return to Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. I'm Brian Baldinger and Ike Reese and Mike Quick.
Here's a guy that showed up time and time again. Love the way D'Amico Ryans keeps his shoulder square to the line.
When you've got an offensive line, the caliber of guys you're talking about, you've got athletes at the offensive line position.
They must practice all week with great discipline in order to defend Cam Newton.
What I like for Brandon Graham right here is his ability to convert speed to power.
That's good, solid football right here.
He drops into the end zone. He pumps. He looks. He is going deep. And the pass is caught by DeSean Jackson.
Hi, I'm DeSean Jackson. You're watching Philadelphia Eagles.com.
Dave Spadaro with you here at the NovaCare Complex. This Eagles offense is gotten off to a very promising start in this preseason. High tempo, too many mistakes, and certainly too many turnovers, and that is something that Chip Kelly wants to get corrected, and in fact will get corrected. He won't tolerate those kinds of mistakes. But Eagles obviously understand that when it all comes together with Jason Peters on the field and the quarterback in place and the running backs there, it's got a lot of ability, a lot of potential. Offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur talks to the media after practice today about his group and the progress the offense has made.
The place, he and I are in constant communication. So if there's things that that I see that I can help him with, you know, I try to give him suggestions. But Chip calls the plays and sends them in.
And you're upstairs.
I'm upstairs. Yeah. Yeah.
From first day of camp till today, do you feel like your hurry up session just got faster?
Yeah, I think our operation has gotten smoother each practice or each training session. So, yeah, I think we're a lot quicker than we were. I think back to when we first started doing this stuff in the spring, and we were moving at a snail's pace. Now I think we're not where we need to be yet. You know, I think we'd like to play faster and faster and be efficient and run good plays. But I think we're much closer to where we need to be when it's time for the real games.
In the no huddle, when the team's in the no huddle, what can the quarterback hear from the sideline?
In the no huddle?
Yeah.
Well, he certainly can hear what the coach or that's, you know, what Chip is sending in. But typically, the way it works is you get the quarterback going, you give him the play, and then he's trained to see and react to what the coverage or the front dictates. And so, you know, there's not as much conversation as you might think. The advantage of the communicator is you can give the quarterback a clue or two, but then again, it's a personal preference. There's some quarterbacks that want to play and don't want to hear anything. Then there's other guys, of course, that welcome any kind of a hint you'll give them. Well, I think, you know, just watching him, and again, I haven't really seen him in games other than watching him on tape. And, you know, he's physically unique. You know, he's an outstanding athlete. He's very strong. He's very broad. And he moves his feet extremely well. And I think those are all reasons why he's got a chance to be dominant when we get him out there.
This is, I think, Mike Vick's fifth offensive system in 11
mm-hmm.
years.
Right. Well, it's new for all of us, and so there's a lot of, I've said this phrase before, there's a lot of parallel learning, but I've seen him get better each day. he's made comments that he feels comfortable out there on the field. And so when he's saying those types of things, then it tells me that he's understanding what he wants to get done based on what we're trying to do. And so I think that's good. Well, I think we as coaches are familiar with concepts, but of course, you know, how we function as an offense, there was a lot that I learned. You know, I think I've always felt this, but I wish I knew now, you know, or I wish I knew 20 years ago what I know now. I think I learn something new every day, and I think, you know, I think if we function the right way, you know, we have a chance to do good things.
I've been around quarterback.
Go ahead.
Around quarterbacks who, you know, knowing they've had the job, or quarterbacks who've been in competition, is there a benefit to them one way or the other, you think?
I think competition is good for everyone. I think we all need to be challenged, regardless of whether it's within a position group. I think we all feel challenged to learn and not make mistakes. I think that's natural and good, and I think that's what training camp brings. You have groups of guys out there doing the same things, and they try to get better individually, and then they naturally compare themselves to their teammates, and so I think that's a good thing.
A lot was made of Mike holding on to the ball too long the previous years, and whether that would be something that he'd be able to adapt to in this system to get it out. But something that, do you think that was just a product of what he was asked to do in the past, or something specifically that you guys have been working on?
You know, I was never around Mike. I left, and I was gone by the time he came here. So I wouldn't make the statement that he holds it too long. Based on what I've seen, when he knows what he's doing, he gets rid of the ball in a timely way, and that's what I've seen.
We're running back. They take a carry out of the shot that's compared to behind the catch. What are the big differences there?
In terms of accepting the snap from the core, or the handoff? Well, you know, you're obviously close to the quarterback and you're next to him. You know, you're not as much downhill as you might be if you're in the I formation. So, but it's much like quarterbacks coming to the NFL. They're used to being in the shotgun. Same with running backs. Most of these guys have functioned in their college offenses from the gun, so they just get used to it.
Pat, is there something about this offense and the spacing of it that really capitalizes on Jason Vaughn's strength as an inside slot guy?
I think Jason has been productive all his years as a player. I think he's a true pro. He's one of those guys in the building. Like right now, he's shooting the jugs machine to his teammates. I mean, he's one of the guys in the building that you hoped all young players, you know, you encourage them to watch pros like Jason, but you hope they really listen and do it, because he does everything right. He's a tremendous competitor. There's times when we want to take him out of a drill where he resists, you know, which is rare for a guy with as many years in the league as Jason. And I just admire how tough he is. So I don't know if it's a function of the offense. I just think he's an outstanding player.
He does have a lot of third down. I mean, is that just a specialty for him, getting the ball to him on third down, especially when the matchup is right?
Yeah, you know, he plays in the slot for us quite a bit, although he will play outside. And so, you know, there's times when those matchups are where you're looking when you need to get a shorter third down distance.
You talked about yesterday, Chip referenced that he's never had a third preseason game before, obviously, and that's what someone like you and Bill Davis come from the game.
Right.
What guidance or insight would you give about playing time?
Yeah, well, you know, we talk constantly about the players and personnel and how we intend to use them. We did it all the way up to the first preseason and then the second. And we have an initial plan now of what we want to do here in the third preseason, but I'll kind of let Coach reveal that when the time is right. I think we're so far away from the game right now. You know, we'd like to get in a mode where we prepare like a week, but we're also still in training camp where we're trying to get better going Eagles against Eagles.
It's kind of like everybody learning that, you know, coaches and players. How about a guy like Clay Harbor who's had to kind of learn different position all of a sudden? How did he handle that? What did he think?
Yeah, I think Clay's done a great job. He's done everything we've asked. And, you know, I think the way we structure our passing game, you know, you learn the concept based on being in the first, second, or third spot. And so, instead of being in the second or third spot, we're just putting them out at one. And so there's some carryover learning there, and he's taken to it. And I've seen him improve, really being an outside player. He's improved in every session since we put him there.
Right. Not asking you to compare at all, but just in general, where Matt Barkley is now, as far as a rookie quarterback in his first camp, how would you?
He's made great strides. I think when you notice Matt, and I think the truth can be said about his work in the games. You know, as he settled down, he played better. So I think it's just a matter of him playing more and more and more. And I've said it before. We've seen him do tremendous things in college, and he'll pull the trigger. You know, he gets rid of the ball quickly, which is a tremendous attribute for a quarterback. And he's like everybody else. He's learning the offense and getting comfortable with the plays we call. And I think you only see him get better and better.
Can he operate in NFL offense right now in a game? And do you feel comfortable with him the way you did with Brandon and Sam?
He did it the last 2 weeks. So I don't think there'd be – if we put him in the ball game, we would have confidence that he could execute for us. Well, I'm looking at it from the detailed end of things. We made plenty of mistakes. You know, I think we're doing some good things we can build on. But when you turn the ball over twice and you have the penalties that we had in the first half, we all know you can't score enough points. And we left, I like to say, we left a lot of meat on the bone. You know, that's where the improvement has to come. And that's what you work on. Is generally the guys know what's going on and know what they're doing, but then to be able to really execute very efficiently throughout the game and not make those mistakes, that's what we're shooting for.
The option plays, the package
plays, where you have different options. Seems like
a pretty logical
principle. In fact, why do you think it hasn't been? I don't know. I think there's, you know, in the old days, the audible systems used to be to get you out of a bad play, not necessarily get you into the best play, you know. And then there are offenses where you got run pass options, you know. You're just trying to do what's best. And so, you know, I think all offenses have certain percentage where you run it, or if it presents itself, you throw it. You know, we just package it up a little different. That's all. I don't know. I know I've learned a great deal in the last 6 months, and a lot of things, as I mentioned, I wish I knew these things 20 years ago. And so I think, if you notice the smile on my face, I tell you what, I enjoy learning new things, and this has been a lot of fun for me.
How's Cooper coming along at number 2 or 3?
Coop?
Riley Cooper.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him 1, 2, 3, but yeah, I mean, I think Cooper's coming along well. I think he's doing... He's doing a good job. Yeah, no, I think he's playing the left receiver for us, and he's doing a good job. I think he's had a very good camp, and he's made a lot of plays out here. You know, he's a big body guy. He catches the ball in the crowd. He does find a way to wiggle free, and I think he's an outstanding blocker. So, you know, he's doing what we ask.
How is Clay making the transition to wide receiver?
I think he's done a good job. I really have. I talked earlier about how we teach it, you know, and he's just really moved out, and he knew the concept, so there was some residual learning. There was some carryover there, and I think he did a good job in the game, and I think he's even the last two training sessions has done even better.
I mean, having the versatility to use him in two different positions, obviously, right. As with any player that can do that, gives you some roster flexibility, doesn't it?
It does. And I would say, though, you know, going back to what we ask our tight ends to do, you know, they could play attached, they could play detached in the slot, or they could play outside. And so they've been learning that all along. And, you know, it's yet to be seen what our final roster is. And so we'll just try to use the guys that are available to us in a way that makes sense.
The flexibility for receivers as far as their route options in this offense seems a lot different than the West Coast. I mean, a little bit more flexibility, freedom.
Yeah.
To read and make adjustments. Is that pretty accurate?
I don't know that. I think there's a lot of concepts that are very similar. Very similar. I mean, there's curl flat and four verticals in everybody's offense, and then there's option routes in every offense. So there's a lot of passing concepts that are very familiar to my eyes based on what I've known for the years in this league. So you just don't go out there and freestyle. Every route and every route combination has its parameters, and basically you want to be able to wiggle free when you're man-to-man, and I think our guys have displayed an ability to do that to this point. No, I'm teasing. Just the way we function, from how we practice to how we function from an offensive, you know, system standpoint, and then the communication that I have with the head coach, Coach Kelly, and then the other coaches. You know, you got a bunch of guys that really, a lot of us didn't work together, that are all working together, and we got a great, you know, exchange of ideas. And you know, when a good idea comes across the table and somebody says, yeah, that's a good idea, and we confirm it, then we give it a shot. And so that's been fun. And then again, obviously the parameters of this thing are how Coach Kelly sees offense, and it makes a lot of sense. Well, we've done a lot of things over and over and over, and so he's been able to get a lot of reps. And, you know, by watching him function and him being able to actually do it, you know, we've been able to – he's been able to develop confidence with at least a, you know, a package of things that are within this offense. And so it's because he's repped it a great deal, and I think he's got some good players to throw to, and some guys that are blocking well for him. And so as you do something, you like it, and you have success with it, you tend to get more and more comfortable with it. And I think that's where Mike's at. Yeah, I think we've done, you know, I think the guys up front are battling. You know, the good news is we haven't talked about a rookie right tackle much. Usually when you don't talk about the lineman, it's a good thing. You know, and we've got, you know, Jason hasn't played. But we've got some young guys in there that are getting, I mean, reps that are invaluable for them. You know, Alan Barbary played left tackle for us, and some of the other young guys that are in there playing have done an outstanding job. So I think that group's coming along well. I am.
Yeah. Kind of a different perspective for you?
No, I've been up there in my career. I've been upstairs. I've been on the sideline. I've had, as you all know, different roles. But I think what's good is, I've been up there before, so I know how you have to function in the box. And then I feel like I'm in a position where if I can assist Coach, you know, with the game, I do that. Yep. Yeah, Big Mike's one of those guys that's really improved. You know, he came in, you didn't know what to expect, and he's one of the guys that each day does something, and you say, wow. You know, this guy's got a chance to be, you know, something someday.
All right, that is offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur. Dave Spadaro here. Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. When we return, we go to the other side of the football and talk some D-line. Up and down the line, the depth, some of these young prospects really stepping up. And then later in the show, Cedric Thornton, third-year man who is rising on this defense, stops by the studio. Stay with us. It's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity.
The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Let's get it.
You getting ready to have some fun, man.
We did it, man. Couldn't ask for anything better. I'm so fortunate to be next to the Eagles.
There's no better feeling than walking into this stadium knowing that, you know, all these people are here to support you.
There he is. Great to meet you.
Great to meet you, man.
That's pretty awesome.
Out goes Vic. He dumps it off to McCoy, makes a man miss, comes to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Shady McCoy!
Hi, I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. We're talking a little defense now. And the Eagles transitioning to this 3-4, at times a 4-3, certainly a hybrid front for this defense that Bill Davis much more pleased with after game number 2 in the preseason. Nice performance on Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. And one of the players who's really stepped up there is Cedric Thornton. We'll talk to him in just a little bit in studio here. But this is a group that is looking for some versatility up front. Nose tackles who can play at defensive end in the 5 technique. Players who can work up and down the line. And they are led by Isaac Sapuaga, a veteran from Hawaii who played with the San Francisco 49ers for 9 seasons, signed as an unrestricted free agent back in March, and adds a veteran presence, a physical player, a space eater for this Eagles defensive line, and someone that the younger players can really rely upon. Not far behind, and in fact, pushing for a lot of playing time, third-round draft pick Benny Logan. Outstanding preseason thus far for number 96, who comes off the ball so aggressively, plays with great tenacity, uses his hands very well, and finds the football. Eagles giving him more and more reps, and it looks like Benny Logan's going to make an impact in his rookie season. Fighting for roster spots, veteran Antonio Dixon, who now healthy after missing some time with an injury. He is back on the field and looking to make some plays on Saturday night in Jacksonville to get himself into the picture as far as the roster goes. And then Darrell Walker, a developmental player from Hampton. The Eagles will kind of see what he can do and hopefully get him ready to go on Saturday night. He should get some time Saturday or potentially the last preseason game against the New York Jets. Now, as far as the rest of the defensive line, on the left side, Thornton has been starting. Clifton Gathers getting a lot of time inside as well as in the 5 technique. Joe Kruger, a 7th-round draft pick, making some progress. And then Eddie McClam signed the other day from Old Dominion. Fletcher Cox, the team's number 1 draft pick a year ago, played well in the 4-3 as a traditional defensive tackle. Asked to make the transition now to the 5 technique defensive end. Some pressure there against Tom Brady in week 1 of the preseason. He's big, he's powerful, he is explosive. One of the revelations of this training camp at preseason, Vinnie Curry, 2nd-round draft pick last year, didn't play much at all as a rookie. And when the Eagles transitioned to the 3-4, many believing that Curry would not fit into the puzzle here. But he has more than done so. He's played very well coming off the football, winning battles at the line of scrimmage and making plays behind the line of scrimmage. Damian Square, rookie from Alabama, also very much in the mix for a roster spot, has had a really explosive start here, has come on strong early. And when you talk about players coming from nowhere, as far as training camp surprises, Damian Square has done a nice job on the football field for the Eagles. David King, 7th-round draft pick from Oklahoma. Does he make this roster? He is a player the Eagles liked a lot in the draft. A lot of versatility, some power, working on his technique, getting some playing time. A big couple of weeks for David King as we look at the roster now and the Eagles looking at it and where it will be in a couple of weeks when they cut down to 53 players. So how many defensive linemen will the Eagles keep? Well, you probably think 8 or 9. It's not like it was in the past when it was a traditional 4-3, when the Eagles would keep 9 or 10 defensive linemen. So one of the mysteries as the Eagles cut the roster down. When we return, we go out to the practice field and take a look at the Eagles receivers against the defensive backs, a little 3-on-2 when we come back to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
What celebrity do you get mistaken for?
Oh, well, this will be a Napoleon Dynamite for sure.
You don't want to get an animal into a camera shot with you because you have no idea what they're going to do. Right. It seems to me like you haven't been in the league that long, and yet now you're the old man. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
What do you miss about football?
Besides the paycheck?
You probably would have got smoked, Doc.
Bam!
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
It is time to talk defensive line. Dave Spadaro joined by Cedric Thornton, third-year man. It's kind of unbelievable that you have been here for three seasons. You've grown up a lot in that time, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have, tremendously.
Tell me about it. I mean, you come out of college, you're a young kid, and you come into a world of, you know, it's business. You either perform or you are out of a job. It's a sudden realization, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. I mean, it's just every day you got to perform. You're only as good as your last day, you know. I like the challenge, and I like that that God put the veterans in my life when I first came in the NFL, and they showed me how to be a businessman and to show me how to perform in the NFL.
Who do you credit some of that maturity process? Who do you look – who back then, 3 years ago, did you look to, and they kind of led the way for you?
I try to mirror Cullen Jenkins. He was my mentor. Mm-hmm. We done a lot of outfield work, and he's tremendous in just explaining how the game is going to be run. And he ran a 3-4 in Green Bay, and we just acknowledged that one day we might be playing this defense, and we just see what's going
to
happen.
Do you stay in touch with him?
I do. I talk to him.
How's he doing up in New York?
Oh, he loves it.
Yeah?
First game, I seen him get a sack, and it was exciting to watch. He's a great player.
Cedric, for you, this is a transition from a 4-3 to a 3-4. And I mean, we kind of try to explain to the fans the differences, but for you, can you kind of explain in layman's terms what it all means?
We're just trying to beat up the person in front of us and just try to attack him as soon as possible.
And do you come off the ball differently? Do you place your hands differently? What kind of stuff does coach have you doing?
Basically, we're just trying to dominate the man in front of us.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, that sounds easy enough to me.
Oh, it is. It's very easy.
In college, though, you can do that with strength. You can do that with power. You can do that by being a better athlete. That's not the way it works in the NFL, is it?
Oh, no, definitely not. You got better athletes, and just being in the NFL, you definitely expect to have better athletes. Just try to do it more technical, be a better technician. But it's football. You try not to make it as hard as other people try to make it, but it's simple. Our coach make it simple for us.
Do you look back and think about some of those moments that were really special to you in your career, your first game, your first tackle, first win? Do you ever look back? And boy, it seems like 100 years ago.
Oh, it definitely does. I look back, and that's the things that motivate me. I always had this dream, I always had this vision of being in the NFL. Now it's reality. And I look back and I once talked to my wife, you know, once a week or something, just to tell her that we're here. And we're just trying to stay here. And staying here is you got to be consistent. And every day I come to work and I try to perform as if every day is a game day. And it's paying off for me.
How has your body changed in the last, you know, 6-7 months when you found out that this defense was going to change and that your responsibilities might change?
It hasn't changed a lot. I always been a person to not have a chest, and I always try to keep my six pack.
To not have a chest?
Yeah, not have a chest. I don't have a chest.
You have a chicken chest? Are you telling me
that
you?
I have a bird chest.
A bird cage.
I
okay,
do,
bird
I do
chest.
Have a bird chest. But
even though you're pumping out, you know, benches and
that's genetic. I guess I just won't have a chest.
Okay.
But it hasn't changed tremendously. I got bigger. I'm 310 right now. So I mean, 295 last year. So I mean, I gained a lot of weight.
So when you do these reps in the combines or whatever, it doesn't really matter a whole lot, does it, when it comes to football, how many bench presses you can do?
Oh, no, definitely don't. Just trying to beat the man in front of you. It's the attitude. Football is the attitude. And if you don't think that you're going to beat the man in front of you, most likely you're not. But if you think you can beat anybody, then that's your attitude that you're taking. It's most likely going to happen.
Last week against Carolina, Cedric, you were in the backfield a lot. It seemed like the light really has come on, not just for you, but for the entire defense, understanding what Coach Davis wants to teach you.
Yeah, it has. I give God all the credit to that. I went in fearless. My God is a fearless God, and I just try to attack every game fearless. And sometimes you can get overwhelmed to think that this is a bigger stage than what it really is. You just got to go out there and play football.
When you're on the field, do you think about the crowd, or do you see the lights, or is it hard to kind of get that stuff out of your mind?
I try to get that tunnel vision to be on that person in front of me, mm-hmm. and try to dominate him and just believe that the other 10 guys that are on the field with me are going to handle their job. And last game we did that, and we played as a team, played as a unit, and we're getting better. We're having progress, and even today we have progress, and we just thank Coach Billy Davis and thank all the coaches, Coach Ash, for just sticking with us and just believing that we're going to overcome the adversity that we have every day.
Do you have more confidence in what the coaches are teaching you? Because it is a lot different than what you've done in the past. I mean, last year was, let's be honest, it was kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Wide nine, changing coordinators, changing defensive line coaches. It was a little bit nuts around here.
Our coaches are doing a real good job. They're staying with us. They don't get frustrated at all. So, I mean, it's real good to have them guys in the room and just to see how they just stay calm mm-hmm. and relax and know that we're going to get it done. And they're doing a good job. I like playing for them, and I just hope and pray that God allows me to continue to be here.
Cedric, what kind of personal goals do you have?
Personal goal? My personal goal, I go out. I don't compete with people on my team. I try to be the best defensive lineman in the NFL. So mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing in practice, and I just try to go hard and just try to extend my potential and untap, you know, all the potential that I have and just try to beat the other guys like Sue and all the other defensive linemen in the NFL. I try to be better than them each day.
Would you say that Ndamukong Suh is at the top of the list?
He's one of them guys up there.
Yeah.
He's very dominant. So, I mean, like, he's down there with Coach Wash and, you know, Coach Wash said he's a very good athlete.
Yeah, sure he is.
So he definitely practiced like it too. So
you got Jacksonville coming up. Is it too early to talk about kind of what they do offensively? Have you studied them yet?
I just try to beat the man in front of me. So, I mean,
that's as simple as it is.
That's as simple. So, I don't care what they do. If I go and use the technique that our coaches are teaching us in practice, then it makes it easier in the game. Don't try to make it no more than what it is. It's simple. Okay. So, you beat the person in front of you, you go to second key, and you just make the play.
I mean, so motion, all that stuff, you don't pay attention. You just, that guy in front of you is the guy.
Zoned in on him. He's going to show you where the ball is going to go.
If I stood in front of you and tried to block you, do you think that I would have a chance of holding you off for more than, would you try to bull rush me or would you try to make a move on me, little skinny guy like myself? Come on, man. I'm just kidding around with you.
It's like playing defense against a receiver, man. I'll take it easy on you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I'd like to walk after we were done.
I got it.
How's training camp going for you, though? It's a monotonous grind. It's fast out there.
It's definitely a grind. It's fast, definitely, with Coach Kelly on offense. And I just enjoy it. You never know when it's going to be your last time on the field, so I just go out there and enjoy every day.
When you're scrimmaging against the Eagles' offense and the tempo, challenging for you, isn't it?
Oh, very challenging. I love it. It's just going to prepare us for the other offense in the NFL. It should make it a lot easier.
Well, Cedric Thorne is now going to go in and start hydrating at least 200 ounces of something a day because Jacksonville on Saturday is going to be hot, hot, hot. It's going to be a great test for your cardiovascular and your hydration, is it not?
It is. I'm just looking forward to going out there and just see what the defense is going to do. We had a good game last game, and we're just trying to do the same thing against the Jaguars and hopefully get a chance to watch Jason Babin out there.
Oh, yeah.
He's still out there, so
talking
to him a lot, and he's loving it out there. So hopefully we'll go out there and just get the win. That's what we want.
Cool. Hey, man, thanks.
Thank you.
Cedric Thornton in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
It is intercepted! Kurt Coleman is second of the game!
Coleman does a nice job of wrapping up his feet.
Hi, Eagles fans. I'm Kurt Coleman. You're now watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, on the practice field, the Eagles going through yet another practice today. Long week here with the Jaguars, not until Saturday. So the Eagles had the full pads on today. We take a look with Chris McPherson doing the play-by-play. Little three-on-two, two receivers against three defensive backs.
Sunday's practice here at the NovaCare Complex. We're going to take a look at the two-on-threes here, Bo Wolf and Chris McPherson, of course. The quarterbacks will be alternating sides of the ball, two guys running routes against three defenders. And Michael Vick connects to DeSean Jackson, who, Chris, has been probably the most impressive player throughout training camp.
Oh, no question from the offensive standpoint. Just tremendous route runner. He's going to thrive in this offense. Interesting to see on that first rep that Earl Wolf working in with the first group of safeties here.
Jamar Chaney, the linebacker, and Bradley Fletcher, the corner on the outside. He forces an incompletion to Greg Salas. Now we see Dennis Dixon taking the snap. And he completes it to Russell Shepard on Kerry Williams. Russell Shepard started fast. It seemed like he plateaued a little bit, but maybe he's coming on again.
Yeah, you know, didn't get a lot of action in the preseason game. Did make a nice stick on special teams, which is where he's going to have to make his bones if he's going to try to make the 53-man roster. But hopefully these last two preseason games he'll get a chance. And there, ooh, the ball aired out for
Jeff Mail, the mailman, just out of his reach. And I think when you talk about Shepard, the questions are, is it going to be five or six receivers? And he's probably right there in the mix right now with a guy like Greg Salas.
Certainly, and that's the thing is you have to keep an eye on is special teams these last couple of games. Not certainly the flashiest part, but that's going to be one of the difference makers in terms of who makes the roster. But when looking at who are going to be the receivers, you also have to factor in the tight ends, especially with a guy like Clay Harbor, who's been working at both the tight end and wide receiver positions throughout this training camp.
G.J. Kinney now completes to Riley Cooper on the out route. Jordan Poyer in coverage. Michael Vick takes the snap now. Little pump fake. Good defense. Forces the completion down low to James Casey, but that's a win for the defense. Good coverage.
Emmanuel Acho there doing a good job making a strong push here in the middle part of the preseason and training camp for one of those roster spots at that backup inside linebacker positions.
Michael Kendricks has been called the best cover linebacker on the team by Chip Kelly, but when he is one-on-one with Jason Avant, that is among the best route runners in the league. Not a good chance there.
Oh, certainly all the space to work with. Chip Kelly is making you defend every inch of grass on this field. Too tough to beat someone, especially he's going to be able to maneuver and get you in and out of whatever position he wants you to get out of.
Demaris Johnson gets jammed on the line there by Trent Cole on the play before. A good jam by Trent Cole. And Demaris, who's working more in the slot now, has talked about his most difficult thing about playing in the slot is going up against big guys like Connor Barwin and Trent Cole, who can really jam him at the line. So that's something that he has to work on, as we see Michael Vick take the snap now. Fires it down the field to Riley Cooper. A nice catch. Cooper beats Kerry Williams.
Yeah, great job just using that strength, that speed to get to the outside, doing a nice job there against Williams.
And a nice back shoulder throw from Dennis Dixon to Greg Salas, who continues to make a push for the roster, a guy who was a former fourth round pick with the Rams. They had a coaching change. He fell out of favor there, went to New England, was waived by them there, tried to put him on the practice squad. The Eagles signed him. He didn't play a game last year, but he's a guy who has some experience.
Yeah, has experience, worked mostly out of the slot, one of the most prolific receivers in the University of Hawaii history, but is getting adjusted to working on the outside. He did that at Hawaii, but he's doing more of that here versus where previously when he had success in St. Louis, he was working out of the slot.
Nice catch from Shepard on the pass from G.J. Kinney. Good hands. Michael Vick now. Slant to Clay Harbor. What have you thought about Harbor's performance on the outside since he's moved there a few days ago?
You know, it's made a pretty seamless transition, and I'm sure there are details that wide receivers coach Bob McNell is pointing out from a route running standpoint, but very athletic. He's made some clutch plays throughout his time here, and we're going to see ball aired out here and Trevard Lindley coming up with the interception. But so far, it seems like Harbor has made the transition. He has the athleticism to play on the outside. Remember his career at Missouri State, he was a receiver, but he was just so big and athletic and versatile, they wanted to move him inside, so he's going back outside to the receiver spot.
Nice catch there from the second round pick, Zach Ertz, on the pass from Nick Foles. I think when you talk about Harbor, the question is, when you're looking at how this roster gets cut down, you're thinking about five or six receivers. Maybe a guy like Harbor allows them to only keep five receivers, and Harbor can be that sixth guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy in Harbor who's entering his fourth season, former draft pick back in 2010, and he's a guy who, remember, he practiced a little bit at linebacker because he's a guy who's smart, who's athletic, and they want to see him at different spots. So the fact that he can play both positions, and I think you're going to see a transition overall in Chip Kelly's offense from the guys like the Zach Ertzes who can play inside and outside as well. You're going to see that transition. I think Clay Harbor is the first part of it. Ertz, as a rookie, they just want to focus him, have him focus squarely on the tight end position at this point.
And the reception there for Harbor. Foles throws on the out to Zach Ertz. Ertz is a guy who has been impressive, picked up the offense quicker than maybe we would have expected, considering that he wasn't here for most of the spring. Dennis Dixon taking the snap now. Bryce Brown and Deshaun on the routes, and he finds Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, simple enough, and what you're going to see is Deshaun Jackson, and Casey gets the pass there on the other side, but Deshaun Jackson is going to get a lot of receptions, a lot of short, quick throws, and he's going to be able to use that speed, and it's going to be key that the blockers, Riley Cooper, if you recall, on the Nick Foles touchdown run, made a very nice block to Springer for the touchdown. It's going to be the blocking by the receivers, which will be key in helping Springing some of these screen passes for big games.
Not bad coverage from Trevard Lindley there, but Salas drops it and drops an F-bomb to boot, but a tough completion there, and that does it for this 2-on-3. The last segment we can show, Sunday's practice at the NovaCare Complex.
And we welcome you back. Good stuff from the practice field. We take your phone calls next, 215-320-5170, 215-320-5170. And also we go back to the practice field to talk to some of the players, including the quarterbacks, about the week ahead that ends in Jacksonville, preseason game number 3. It's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. We're coming right back.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Chances are, you're not made of money. So don't overpay for motorcycle insurance. Geico. See how much you could save.
Let's get it.
You getting ready to have some fun, man.
We did it, man. Couldn't ask for anything better. I'm so fortunate to be next to the Eagles.
There's no better feeling than walking into this stadium knowing that all these people are here to support you.
There he is. Great to meet you.
Great to meet you.
That's pretty awesome.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
The phone number to call, 215-320-5170. Let's talk about your Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to Maryland and start with Marshall. Marshall, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing all right, Marshall. How are you?
Great. Good. Very excited about the upcoming season.
I
have a question about the wide receiver. I believe his name is Ifeanyi Moma.
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Ifeanyi Moma.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been watching all the games. I haven't seen or heard anything about him. Is he going to make the team, or how's he doing?
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call, Marshall. You know, Ifeanyi Moma signed by the Eagles after a tryout in the spring. A lot of ability, raw, hasn't played football in 2 years, and it just takes a long time to shake off all that rust. He's got to get stronger. Defensive backs are getting up into him, not letting him get off the line of scrimmage. I would be surprised very much so if he made this 53-man roster. He just hasn't really shown what he can do. He really hasn't had that occasion to catch a lot of passes. He's got a long way to go, to be quite honest with you. Great kid, some ability there, but he has a long way to go before he can, I think, in this day and age, play at this level. But we'll see. I do not project him on this 53-man roster. To me right now, Greg Salas would be your fifth receiver, good special teams player, can get on the field and catch the football, get open. To me, that would be your fifth receiver. All right, Tom in Texas joins us on Inside Training Camp. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Dave.
What's up?
Had a question about Chip Kelly and Michael Vick. It seemed like there was a controversy there when Michael Vick was saying he had nothing to work on or whatever, and then Chip Kelly said you always want to work on something. So I was wondering about that, and I think Nick Foles might be the starter because of that.
Tom, thanks for the call. I don't recall that being any sort of controversy. I mean, Chip's right. You always have something to work on. So I think Michael's point is that maybe he's not going to reinvent himself, that what he does, he needs to get better at. We always need to get better at everything. I don't think that there is a defined leader in Chip Kelly's mind as to who will be the starting quarterback. I don't look at it and say it is Nick Foles' job right now. Michael Vick, if you take away that Hail Mary that he threw at the end of the first half against Carolina, his quarterback rating in the first two preseason games is something around 148. I mean, he's been outstanding. Michael Vick has been tremendous. There we go with a look at his numbers. 13 of 15, completing 87% of his passes. I mean, that's ridiculous. And again, if you take away that interception, thrown in a desperation Hail Mary moment, the passer rating is way, way up there. So I don't think there's any controversy going on at the quarterback position. Both Nick and Michael and Matt Barkley and Dennis Dixon and G.J. Kinney, they've been treated fairly. They know that. And they're all getting a lot of reps, and I think they appreciate that. All right, let's go to John in Mississippi. Johnny boy.
Yo, Dave, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm
good.
Good to hear your voice again.
Thank
and,
you.
And also wanted to say how good the teams look in this preseason, especially compared to last preseason. It's kind of like night and day watching Michael Vick out there. Last year really disappointed the way his preseason went and how he looked, and this year it's He's a different guy. He's a different quarterback in the system.
Agreed.
And I think it's a great competition between him and Foles. I mean, I think, just like Chip Kelly's saying, I think he could probably go with either quarterback, and they can both run the offense. So I think right there they're looking good.
I think, John, you're right. I think the idea here is to have both quarterbacks ready. You never know what's going to happen during the course of a season. Clearly, Michael getting all these reps in training camp and in the preseason have really, really helped his game. Last year, he took, what, 11 reps, 11 snaps?
Yeah.
And when he came out in Cleveland, opening game of the regular season, wasn't sharp, never really got into his rhythm last year.
Not at all. And just, you know, if only he could learn how to slide, I think he could really protect himself and stop getting some injuries on that. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Well, he tried to get down the other night.
Yeah. Head first dive. But, I'm really excited about how the team's looking. I hope that the defense continues to improve. I really like what they're doing there. I think the secondary has a chance to be a lot better. Kerry Williams and Fletcher, I think, are an upgrade, at least in their play.
Yeah, in their
what we saw last year.
In their physical play, and John, thanks for the call. The edict here for the secondary is to be physical. I'll tell you that the key addition, I think, in the secondary has been Patrick Chung, who's able to line up in the slot over the slot receiver. He's able to play the safety position. So if you have a safety, you can also support the run and run well enough to play in coverage. I just think that's something the Eagles haven't had here for a while. It's very, very important. And it's, to me, still undetermined who the starting other safety will be, whether it's Nate Allen, whether it's going to be Earl Wolfe. I think there's still some competition there. But this secondary will be only as good as the pass rush in front of it. One final call here. Rick in New Jersey joins us. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I with the move for the training camp this year, I wasn't able to make it out, so I regret that. But very excited about the team.
Good.
And, it's funny. This switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4, it's going to take some time. And I'm willing to be patient. And I honestly, while the linebacker, that has me a little, I wouldn't say concerned, but, it's a big question mark, I think. And, the DBs, I think our two starting corners are the ones that I have the biggest question about. And I almost look at it like when Andy Reid took over the team in 99 and looking at our wide receivers, and he brought in a Charles Johnson and a Torrence Small. And that's how I look at our two starting corners right now. I kind of see it as their stopgaps. I don't know if they're the answers. I think they're the best that we could get, and we're going to make it work as best as we can. And to me, they're going to be our weak point this year. I think that's where we're going to get picked on. So I'm enthusiastic about what I've seen so far from Chung. I think we may have a solution there at safety. It's still early, but I think our safety play will pick up this year to help support the linebackers. But of course, hey, if you've got a great pass rush going on, then that makes your cornerbacks look that much better.
Hey Rick, thanks for the call. I'll tell you, it's interesting, and it all remains to be seen here when the preseason starts or when the preseason ends and the regular season begins. And nobody talks about Brandon Boykin. Brandon Boykin, to me, is one of the most improved players on this roster. I think he's had a great summer. And while he may or may not start, he's going to play a lot. And I think Brandon Boykin gives the Eagles, he's got some experience now as the slot corner, the nickel cornerback. He's played very, very well. And I think Kerry Williams, stay healthy, keep your head about you, be physical, he'll be fine. Bradley Fletcher, like him, just stay healthy. But I agree with you all. Hey, the offense to me is ahead of the defense right now, which is to be expected when you have so many players coming back from a year ago. All right, from the locker room we go. Nick Foles, what does he think here? Last week of the preseason, everybody's talking about the quarterbacks. We got big game on Saturday night. Who starts? How much do they start? Nick Foles, second-year man. All the poise in the world, enjoying where he is in this quarterback battle.
I think just you play this game in a long time. My parents, just different qualities, you know, people around me. Like I said, my parents have instilled in me since I was a kid just to, you know, when things happen, you know, don't let it beat you, you know, the next play and different things like that. And definitely gone through different things playing since I was a, you know, kid. I mean, when you're a kid and you do dumb things or make mistakes, it hits you pretty hard. And I've cried going home to games when I was a kid just because I was so angry about it. But then you just grow up, you learn how to deal with it, and, you know, you just keep moving forward.
Nick, on the plays, stick with you now? I mean, or is it something that you've been able to just...
It's like I said, when I was a kid, it probably would, you know. When I say kid, I mean like elementary school, middle school. But, you know, it's definitely tough when it happens, but you just sort of know that your teammates are looking to you because you're going to go back in there. And the first thought in my mind, you know, when I got to silence, I can't wait till we get the ball back. I cannot wait to go in and get that ball in the end zone. So... there's a fire right there. You know, you never want that to happen. It does, and, you know, you just got to bounce back from it.
So much focus has been on how well Michael played in the last game. Do you still believe you have a chance to be the number one quarterback?
Hey, I'm going to keep working. My mindset, you know, stays the same. My work ethic stays the same. No matter what, I've always kept the same, and I'm going to keep doing that.
So your mindset is you still think you can be a starting quarterback?
Hey, my mindset is I'm going to work as hard as I can. My ultimate goal always is to play. You know, that's my ultimate goal, but I'm going to work towards that, you know, not change anything.
I think there's no difference in this system than any other system in the league. I think you have to focus on protecting the football, which is the number one priority. And Chip emphasizes that all the time. And decision making, just like any other quarterback, you have to, you know where the ball is going to be going. And, you know, I think, but yeah, protecting the ball is number one.
On the plays where you had that kind of run pass option, how much pressure do you think that puts on the defense where they don't know exactly what you're going to be deciding?
Well, on every play, there should be an answer. And you know, you should be. Whether it's running back up the middle, he should have a hole in every play. And if that end crashes or if a linebacker doesn't do something that he should be doing, you know, and you take it, you're getting at least, you know, 5 yards or whatnot. And if you get 4 yards every play, then you're going to be marching down the field and scoring. So it puts the defense in a bind, whatever they do.
After that first game, you said the adrenaline was going at the start, and then you had to settle down a bit. In the second game, did you feel the same thing there?
No. And it really was just like playing football again, and okay. Just like I know how. And I felt good, felt like I started off on a better note, and felt smooth from there on out.
Looked like you had a couple plays there where you threw the screen to Demaris instead of handing off or running the ball. What kind of look are you looking for to make that kind of decision?
You know, we have different reads on different plays, and that one called to throw that. You know, he makes plays when he's out there, you know, shifty as he is. And if we can put the ball in their hands, it's just an extension of the run game to where we're getting 10 yards, 15 yards on those bubbles. And, you know, the defense can't cover both, so it puts them in a bind.
The completion percentage, is that a number you're looking at right now? Because there's a difference between yours, obviously, and their Knicks and Mike's.
You try to complete every ball, and, you know, every time that's not the case, you know, when I'm going in and you want that to be high, but it's kind of hard to look at numbers right now, just given the circumstances that you're put in and whatnot. But you want that number to be higher. But you know, I try to look at, you know, the concepts and the schemes and decision making right now.
I mean, most of the guys you're out there with are probably in a similar position as you, and that it's their first year or thereabouts. Do you think that's contributing to it at this point?
It might be. There's a lot of factors that go into, you know, why a play works and why a play doesn't. Who knows?
You seem to have the best seat in the house when it comes to watching this quarterback battle. What is your take on how Michael and Nick are doing and just the battle itself?
I wouldn't say I'm more so watching as opposed to, you know, playing in it. And I'll still say that until one's named. So I'm not evaluating it like you guys are. I'm, you know, trying to play the best I can.
The quarterback competition rages on, and it could be decided on Saturday night. The Eagles in Jacksonville for preseason game number 3 against the Jaguars. Make sure you catch it all on 6ABC in Philadelphia, also available on Fox 43 in Harrisburg, and The Wolf, Fox 56 in Scranton. And, of course, we will have complete coverage here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, beginning with our kickoff show at 7 p.m., trying to get ready for the regular season and all of our coverage right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us on Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. We're back on Tuesday. Monday is the players' day off, so a little respite before this furious final few days before the Jaguars, and then after that, the first cutdown date of this roster. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us. Everyone, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.